guests, and callers only, and did not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Hey, good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567, and we're streaming at KCNR1460.com. That's right. You can listen to the show on the computer if you can't quite hear it, but then you get to join the chat room and become one of the 300 or the chat gang or whatever the name they come up with is. It's 7:06. It's March the 10th. And we're moving through this month very quickly. And speaking of being very quick, here's Bad Bob.
And good morning.
How you doing, Bad Bob?
Not bad. Not bad. Had kind of a nice-looking sunrise peeking under the clouds. Now it's turned all gray.
Well, speaking of nice-looking that peeks under the clouds, here she is, Linda.
Well, good morning. And let's start today with what our weather is going to look like. Well, we've got rain with a high of 58, and of course tonight we'll move down with a slight chance of showers with a low of 42. The forecast calls for 100% chance of rain today, so if there's a break, then that just is that, I guess, that slight chance. Something else that we want to bring to your attention, I have an array of things here to talk about. First of all, a new column that's coming out that appeared today in the Record Searchlight is from Dr. Derek Adams. And this is, of course, his first column, and he will have a column that will appear the second Thursday of the month on the health page. And we've had Derek on before. He's a fascinating guy. He's a new dermatologist that is in Red Bluff, and his column is about got milk, got acne. It's likely to be problematic for the skin. So you don't want to miss that. Also tonight, on my show, On the Spot with Linda Bott, we have Lakeisha. You know, you heard us talking about American Idol, the finalist from the American Idol 6, 7, 8, and I think 9, or there's 2 from 8. Lakeisha, the one we listened to that song yesterday, Diamonds Are Forever, she'll be calling in tonight at 6:30 p.m. on the Spot with Linda Bott, and we'll get to do an in-depth interview with her. I'm thrilled about that. She is amazing. And also, yesterday, as Carl and I move about our day, we just like to do shout-outs. Yesterday, of course, Carl, they made an official announcement. Carl is Dancing with the Stars, which means, oh, my God, let's get ourselves in shape. We think we might be in shape, but, oh, my gosh. So, of course, where do we go do that? It's Adamson's Peak Performance, and we do really love the gym and especially the trainers. It's an overall attitude that's different than any other place that you'll go. And we have complimentary workout certificates that they're doing a new promotion. And so if you are thinking at all about doing this, come by the station and we can give you an interview and a drawing. But with this, you'll get you either click on a personal training appointment, you can get a small group training, you can get a one-time skinny jean boot camp or consultation. And that's really great. They just want to see you, and this is a wonderful way to refer a friend challenge. So we encourage you to do that. Also on tonight, we have Wade Riggs on Lisa Collins On Stage with Lisa, and of course that's all about the big musical everybody's talking about, Happy Days. We'll be giving tickets away this evening and talking to some of the cast members.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Okay, and today,
did you hear a word I said?
Every dulcet tone has been imprinted on my mind.
Every dulcet tone.
On my thumb drive of my brain. Okay? The fact that thumb drive's got like one bit on it is not, that's not important. Now, today, before we take our break, who are we going to have on today? We're going to have on Shasta College is rolling in here. Jim Nielsen, Assemblyman Nielsen, will be calling us around 7:30 to talk about what happens, what's going on with the Veterans Home. It's, I tell you what, you should have seen the emails that were just roaring in the last couple of days talking about the delay of up to 2 years of opening the Veterans Home right here in Reading for the budget. But I think we've got some good news today. But Assemblyman Nielsen will be calling at 7:30. And then, of course, we have Police Chief Peter Hansen, and what an opportune time for him to be here this week after what happened Monday with the shooting.
And let's not forget that we saw Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn, and Becky Thatcher last night.
We saw that at Reading Christian School.
Which is at Bishop Quinn.
Well, yeah, Bishop Quinn is now Reading Christian School, but that's where they're located at. They had a cast of thousands, and it was a cute play, and everybody did really well. I mean, you kind of expect, okay, scenery falling or something like that, and it was a very pleasant, it was a lighthearted play, and it followed the book very well. All right, we're going to take a break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. When we come back, we're going to be talking about, what were those tapes I saw of all that rioting? It was frightening, and I thought it was going on in Libya, and Linda said, oh, no, I changed the channel. That's Wisconsin.
Good morning, Reading, Shasta Lake City, Red Bluff, Corning, Anderson, and all of you driving through the I-5 corridor. KCNR 1460. And our chat room is open, and Bob, they're saying, where are you?
Where's Bad Bob?
Yeah, they said, where is he? So, you know, you've got
focusing on the task
your
at hand.
Cronies,
because I broke two of his fingers yesterday.
They are at a loss without you. We've got a lot going up, but before we took the break.
Get back in there. Okay, hey, the Wisconsin Senate. You know, I just kind of love watching this. You know, I flip on the news, and I see the fighters and the aircraft bombing in Libya, and I see, all, you know, sounds of all these guns and all that, and then I go, well, you know what? This is getting kind of old to me. I really want to be scared. So I flip over to the Wisconsin, capital there in Madison, and watch what's going on there. My gosh, they're going through windows. They're fighting their way through doors. And it looks like the Republicans in the Wisconsin State Senate flummoxed and fooled the Democrats. Of course, the Democrats are over in Illinois, so I don't know how hard that is to do. But what they did was they took all the budgeting parts out of this bill on the collective bargaining, and they just passed that part. They've taken away collective bargaining in the state of Wisconsin for the public employees, for the most part. Not all of it, but for the most part. And they can do that because it wasn't tied to a budget. It wasn't tied to money. So in an 18-1 vote, the Senate approved the curbs on collective bargaining by public employees. And Walker, who's the governor, insisted the limits are needed to help the state's cash-strapped municipalities deal with the projected $1.27 billion drop in aid over the next 2 years from the state, struggling to close its own $3.6 billion budget gap. $3.6 billion. You know, Jerry Brown right now would pay him $3.6 billion to have a $3.6 billion budget gap. You know, we're at $20 billion. Now, we talked to Senator LaMoffa. Going to call in today and talk about what was going on in the budget. But Brown has asked the Democratic leaders in the legislature to delay voting on the state budget Thursday. And that's his target date for the passage of the spending plan in order to give him more time to woo the Republicans. Woo, woo. Is that part of woo, woo, woo that you hear in the Three Stooges? Woo, woo.
No, that's
a different woo. It's a different woo.
That's a Snooki woo.
Yeah, anyway. Brown's spokesman said that Brown has continued to engage in positive and productive budget discussions with legislatures, blah, 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 blah. He's asked for the pro tem and the speaker to temporarily to delay any vote. Well, you know, the ones he's working on, there's five Republicans that had been dealing with Brown, and they just came out and said, that's it. We've reached an impasse. And they put out a general line of reforms. We talked about this yesterday. How about this, people? A spending cap, pension reforms, regulatory reforms, ending hiring restrictions. In other words, we could maybe do some privatization and a tax code reform. My gosh, do you actually think that could work? So here we are. And let me tell you what, you don't think the veterans' homes and the veterans' budget and all that's not held as a bargaining chip? You don't think the veterans are being used in this? If you don't think that, you're wrong. Of course they are. The last time, and he said, "Hey, I'm going to pull out the money for the county veteran service officers in Operation Welcome Home." The brouhaha caused by you, the veterans, and the people that cares about veterans, launched a tidal wave. So, talking to Nielsen today, I talked to him yesterday, and he's going to call today. And one of the things we're going to have to do is keep these legislators straight. And the way you do it is with emails. Phone calls are good. Letters, not so much anymore, because they kind of put them off to a bin because it takes then somebody that goes through them and makes sure there's nothing in those envelopes. And how have we gotten to that? In any case, emails, phone calls to go in and remind these people that, look, these are veterans that you're playing, that you're using as a bargaining chip. This is not something you should do. These homes were planned. They were funded. So let's just do it. Let's just open them. And before you start cutting money back from the veterans coming home or the veterans that are here, and eventually you probably will. I would try and find everything up to that to cut. As one of our listeners said and called in and said, it's going to happen to you. And it's right. Eventually it is. But I would hope that everything they can do in this state to cut that is waste or for others that don't belong here is done before you start going after the veterans and all the work that that they need. And as we had Dr. Leah Tate on here yesterday that works with the veterans, they're still trying to get them to come in. There are still thousands up here in the North State that need help. But we're going to be talking about that later. Well, like I said, we'll have Assemblyman Nielsen on for a little while, and then talked to Senator LaMalfa last night about this. Said they're holding off on the budget because he was going to give us a call to tell us the latest on that. So maybe we'll be expecting a call Friday. Okay, we've got to take a quick break. This is Carl and the Bot. Great show today. We're going to have a big show today, and I can see the chat room's already rolling through here. And
coming up, I want to talk about letters to the editor or something that came out today that we're going to discuss after this break. This is Carl and the Bot on KCNR 1460.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I've sang this to you before.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. The home of Free Fire Media. 605-4567.
100% chance
at
of rain.
At KCNR1460.com.
You can't...
We are chatting there and streaming along. We've got you
under our
spell.
Okay, I'm sure. Maybe it's raining. I love it. 100% chance of rain today. Tonight is a slight chance of showers. Just going to read you the forecast. High, the temperatures are supposed to get up to 56 today with a low tonight of 42. So it's one of those wonderful rainy temperate days. And weather's always brought to you by Ensalmo Vineyards. Friday night, Rick Hill will be playing. Join us. We've got some friends joining us from out of town. We're going to be there. We definitely want to share with them Friday night, which would be, of course, up at Anselmo's. Wonderful music and great atmosphere. And Saturday night will be the Festa Italiana. Tickets are still for sale. So if you're interested, come and or call the station and we'll lead you in the right direction. Now, we were talking about letters to the editor, and Carl and I always have this deep conversation about how words mean something. I've never had somebody in my life who stops me and said, wait, words mean something. What did you just say? And sometimes it can be irritating, but other times I'll stop and I'll think, wow, I could see how what I just said could possibly mean that. That's not what I meant.
Yeah, I mean, how many ways can the word idiot be used, though?
Now, wait a minute.
Words mean something.
Wipe that off the platter.
I'm
that
just
is
kidding.
Not what I'm talking
I know.
About.
Just kidding.
But anyway, so today in the Record Searchlight, under Letters to the Editor, Kent Dagg never lost his reputation, is the first letter. Read the article, or read the letter, because words like words regarding his, describing
his,
that as a comp,
right.
Defining the fact that
of his character,
a character,
right.
And what's happened with his family.
Yeah, we talked about this the other day, and it was a sense, they The way it was written, of course, was that they failed to charge Mr. Dagg. Well, really, what they could have said and should have said was, there was nothing found to indict Mr. Dagg on. You know, I mean, again, Kent Dagg is not a friend of ours, you know, in that sense. We've had him on the show a couple of times, as we have almost everybody. But the thing is that, you know, what is I understand what the letter's saying.
Exoneration.
The way you write it is that the only person, you know, Kent Dagg doesn't worry about his reputation. He knows who he is.
Exoneration was the word. It was exoneration should be the headline, not loss of reputation.
Yeah, and they're right. And, you know, the thing is that it's well known that Kent Dagg and Record Searchlight have a feud. He won't take phone calls from them. He won't give them statements unless it's something. I saw a statement the other day, but I'm not sure if that was given to them directly. But the thing is they're right. Is that, you know, take a look at how these headlines are written. Is it like Kent Dagg found... No charges found against Kent Dagg, or no, you know, Kent Dagg innocent. You know, all that. You know, you could use a whole bunch of different words. And we're just saying it's not just because of Kent Dagg. It could be anybody that, you know, somebody goes after and then they come back, you know, and find out later on, oh, well, there's nothing there. I mean, do you see that out on the front page?
Well, even in the chat room, okay, just to weigh in on what we're talking about, we're going to change subjects and get back to where you wanted to come in. But the misuse of words can be damaging and mean. That's from one of our chatters, and that's true. As you chat in the room, as you go through life, I mean, we have a tendency to fling our words. I know I am saying for myself that I can do that. So, again, you know, it's a perfect example in the letters to the editor today about somebody who's really sticking up for somebody with the way a headline can read, and that how a headline or a rumor or some kind of a stigma can be attached to somebody. I'm not saying this with Kent Dagg, but I'm saying in general could be very damaging. So be careful. Choose your words and choose your motives wisely.
Okay, now let's talk about two things in this last couple minutes before the break here. The Attorney General has warned against alienating Muslims. Attorney General Eric Holder on Wednesday warned against alienating the U.S. Muslim community in a veiled criticism of a congressional probe into the radicalization of Muslims at home. I found that headline right next to Federal Grand Jury Indicts Saudi Accused in U.S. Bomb Plot. Federal Grand Jury indicted a 20-year-old Saudi student accused in a bomb plot with targets including the Dallas home of former President George Bush. And that's one of the things I think people ought to take a look at. Who are we letting in this country? You know, are any of them on like on a watch list? And then after they're here, is anybody watching to make sure that they stay on their student visa and leave? Anyway, Attorney General says is that he doesn't want to alienate Muslims. I don't think Peter King wants to alienate Muslims, but like we said yesterday, why would we not investigate a segment of society that's growing where we have had people that have tried to commit terrorist acts on the United States, and they come from some of the mosques. Not all the mosques, not everybody, you know, but some of them. Why wouldn't we want to take a look at this? Why wouldn't we want to take a look at, is there violence being taught in some of the mosques? Are there things being done in the name of Allah in the mosque that are turning people into a jihadist terrorist? Is there? Well, how do you know unless you look? So to not look at a segment of society where some of this comes from because you're afraid of hurting their feelings or alienating them, no, that doesn't work. If it's handled correctly, everybody should be happy for this. The U.S. Muslim community should welcome this and say, hey, we're more than happy to prove this isn't happening in our community. Then why aren't we seeing that? Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Simon Nielsen will be calling after the break at some point. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks. 501 East Cypress, six dinners for $9.99. That's right, six dinners for $9.99. We're talking like baby back ribs, New York steak. This is a local business, and it's run by our neighbors, and they give great quality, great service, and great food. You can't beat these prices. That's Lumberjacks at 501 East Cypress. Our guest, Assemblyman Jim Nielsen. Jim, thanks a lot for calling in.
Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Carl, Linda. Marilyn sends her regards.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Great.
Okay, now you're calling about the, we've already talked a little bit about it, about the Veterans Home and how it's been just a regular blizzard of concern from the veterans about what's happening, but it's not bad.
Well, let's just say the troops came in and we may have saved the day. About a month ago, the governor did a fine-tuning series of recommendations on the budget, which included a three-year delay in the construction of the veterans' homes in Fresno and Redding. Obviously, that was unacceptable, and I went to work behind the scenes. Probably one of our biggest aces in the hole was that such a long delay would really have jeopardized the federal monies, and it would have set it back at least 5 years, if not longer. And then, you know, the risks of time, it could have jeopardized the whole thing. In any event, the ace in the hole was that federal money and some really working behind the scenes. And the compromise in the conference report right now was 3 month delay. That saves the federal money and can keep the projects moving. Now, as we talked yesterday, Carl, though, you know, the budget's not over with yet. I don't even know at this moment whether we'll be voting on the budget today or not. It was last Thursday we voted on the conference, in the conference committee on the budget.
Yeah, Senator LaMalfa called me yesterday and was talking about that they thought there might be something happening, but that is, he said that's been put off. Brown has put off that vote.
Well, I think it has been, but again, everything's on the fly. You never know by the moment.
Yeah.
I'm going to show up at 10 o'clock and we'll see if we're going to be voting on it or not. I think not today, but that being the case, we still have got to remain vigilant because the budget is far from over with yet. And sometimes these things get caught up in the leverage politics too. And that's just not acceptable when you're messing with something like this. We're still working to get the funding back up in the Welcome Home Veteran Service Offices. I've talked with all the Veteran Service Officers throughout California a little over a week ago in Sacramento. They came down, and Colonel Cook, my colleague, and I have legislation in. If we can't do it in the budget, we'll move with the legislative bill to put the money back up to the level that we got it to last year. That was a battle, if you remember, last year, too, even on the Welcome Home. But this Veterans Home thing, that's just too big a deal. This is something you don't trifle with in the budget. And Carl, one of the problems is a lot of folks down in Sacramento don't wake up in the morning thinking about veterans and veterans issues. So we've got to get it on their minds, let's put it that way.
Okay, so we talked about getting emails and phone calls to all the legislatures. Is that true? Is that going to be a big help?
That's helpful, just to let them know that this is really, really important. And, you don't really have to communicate with Jim Nielsen, Doug LaMalfa. We're manning the bastions on this battle. But if you have friends and neighbors and fellow veterans around the state of California, indicate to them to get a hold of their local representatives and let them know how very important this is. That's like the wind beneath the sails for Doug and I, and particularly with me being on this budget committee and conference committee. That's really some ammo for me to be able to work with the other members to say, hey, you know, this is really important to the folks that you represent, not just to me, Jim Nielsen. That's important to the people you represent.
Yeah. And, you know, we appreciate so much what you and Doug do for the veterans and, you know, how you're fighting those battles for us.
Thank you, Jim.
We believe in. Well, we'll keep up the fight, and we'll keep you posted on the other aspects related to the budget. The battle's far from over, folks.
Well, thanks a lot. You know, thanks so much for the update on this, because I know there was a huge amount of consternation. You know, we got a lot of veterans up here in the North State, and sometimes they don't say a lot, but you know, when things like this happen, you know, wakening the sleeping giant could be the right thing to do.
We appreciate.
Well, it's in my heart. I represented for many, many years the only veterans home in California, Yountville, and now I'm honored to represent Redding. So this is a life passion, along with all of you folks.
All right. So we really appreciate, and hopefully we'll get to see you for the dedication ceremony next weekend. And, of course, you're listening to one of our great representatives, Assemblyman and Senator Jim Nielsen. Have a wonderful day. Keep up the good fight.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Fire Radio.
The North State here. It's currently 53 degrees. Guess what? You are looking at the 10th of March. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
7:43 in the morning. By the way, tonight on my show On the Spot with Linda Bott, Lakeisha from the Idol, American Idol finalists, will be calling in. And we'll probably have a couple of the cast maybe giving tickets away for next weekend, the Idol show. But we're talking about great shows and fundraisers and things that are coming up. I know it's so difficult to just try to, what do we do? And we've got something so fun and so interesting to tell you about now and share with you. And in our studio right now,
Gary Hauser, who's the athletic director at Shasta College, and we're going to be talking about the 17th annual dinner auction, celebrity dinner auction, and who is the guest this year, Gary?
Well, thank you for having me, first of all, and we're trying to get as many people aware of our fundraiser as we can.
Shasta College, let's go there.
Shasta College Athletics, this is our 17th annual event, so there's quite a few people in the community that do know about it, but a lot who maybe haven't been there. It's a big, fun dinner auction. Bruce Jenner is our celebrity guest this year. We've had a great list of celebrities that we've been able to bring to Reading, so, and Bruce may be one of the best known and biggest ones we've had. So
Olympic decathlon champion.
There you go, 1976.
You know.
He took the world record.
That. Yeah.
How can you forget that? So, I mean, we can talk about what's going on with his, you know, e-life right now, but really, for the athletic department,
yes,
the fact that he took the decathlon, he had 8,633 points. He then became one of several to become a spokesman for Wheaties and do the box of Wheaties and became this kind of this mogul, an icon.
He's an icon for athletics, and it's, you know, it's a big feather in your cap.
So he'll be here for the event.
Yes, he'll be here for the evening. And the great thing about coming to our event, our guests, the celebrity guests, know that the people in Reading here get to come and meet them and talk with them, have a picture with them, get an autograph from them. They're really accessible to our group during the evening of this event. And it's a dinner, and it's a silent and live auction and some drawing items. And so we have a lot going on, but the celebrity, Bruce will get up and talk for a while to our group, and he's a great motivating speaker. His life story of how he got to be the decathlon champion in 1976 is really inspiring, the way he had to battle in his youth. So he does a lot of this, and I know if someone comes, they're going to come away thinking that it was a great event. So we have tickets available. We have tables and individual seats and whatever anybody would want. So I might give a number, and then you guys might be able to reinforce that number or something. But
Gary, that's what you're here for. We're going to give that number out several times.
How do we get tickets?
And we want to talk about Shasta College. And, you know,
and
this
the sports department.
And
okay.
The
athletic
department. And just Shasta College just a little bit, too,
all right,
if you don't mind us doing that. I'm talking to people, some of our young men and women that have gone and graduated from college, from universities. In many cases, they started at Shasta College. And I don't think that people realize is that what a viable academic campus we have here in a two-year college.
It's just an amazing college, and the people that have gone on, not just from our athletic department, which is really impressive when you look at the transfer students that we've had and where they've gone, not all the time because of their great athletic abilities, but because they came to Shasta College because we had this athletic program. They've found a major and found a career and transferred, but it's a great start. And our professors and people that we have throughout that college are top-notch, and anyone who comes gets a great first 2 years of education and can pick from 17 intercollegiate sports in our end of the campus to come out and participate in, which is a great thing to do.
Now, you were talking about golf. You know, about taking golf lessons. Now, people can go out there and sign up for sports like this, or classes in golf, and probably numerous other classes, right?
Yeah, what we kind of, you know, we have such a, everyone knows the obesity crisis we have in this country. Young kids now are sitting on the couch playing video games instead of getting out and playing ball. the high schools have not required physical education after the freshman year. So we get people that come to us as young adults that haven't had exercise in their life for a while. And we are trying to educate them as much as we can campus-wide that you've got to look at this, and not only for yourself, but we have young parents who are there at our college who have young children, and the encouragement that they could give to get their children active. It's a real health epidemic now. The first time maybe ever that this next generation of children may not outlive their parents. So it's a big responsibility we have, and they can come and get for very inexpensive cost training in every number of activities, cardio activities, yoga, activities with team sports. So it's
golf, weightlifting, all those things to help keep you active. Absolutely. Dr. Kahn, who is the preeminent heart specialist here in the North State, maybe in the United States and world, mm-hmm. said that we're facing this, just exactly what you said, Gary, this obesity epidemic in our children. Yes. And if it continues the way it is, in 15 more years, 15 to 20 more years, one out of every two children will have diabetes.
Yes,
I know. I mean, one out of every two. Now, you think about that. I mean, we're not talking people in their 60s and 70s or 50s. Teenagers.
Yes.
And and all of it is led from you. They're staying on the couch. Parents aren't pushing them outside. Yeah. Like when we were growing up. I'm not going back. When I was a kid, it was a lot better. Yeah, I walked 12 miles uphill in the snow. No, it wasn't that. But we didn't have the distractions.
Two for me, but,
We didn't have the distractions that people had.
Yes.
Hey, our guest is the athletic director of Shasta College, Gary Hauser. We're talking about the upcoming event, the 17th Annual Celebrity Dinner Auction. This weekend, and we're going to be talking, getting more in depth about what's happening with the North State, with Shasta College, and Bruce Jenner. This is Carl and Linda Bott. We're going to take a break. We'll see you right after these messages.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Media. It is 7:53 in the morning, March the 10th. Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 605-4567. And we're chatting in the chat room with the 300 and the chat pack and other names. No, that's not the accumulation of your IQs. That's each man and woman's IQ in the chat room. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brews, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Espresso Joe's, it's going to be raining today, my friends. You go out there, they give you the coffee you want, the prices you want, by the people that are just so absolutely friendly. Finest walk-in humidor also in the state, if not west of the Mississippi. That's Tobacco and Brew. Joe and Shelley support our veterans. They support our community. Go down and visit them.
We've been talking about an event that's happening. It's the 17th annual sports dinner and auction where Bruce Jenner is going to be the guest this weekend. And Gary Hauser's with us, who is the athletic director at Shasta County.
The event's going to be 18. Next Friday, March 18th.
Okay, I'm sorry. Uh-huh. That's right. Okay, so let's talk about... Good. Let's get clear on the price of the tickets, mm-hmm. the venue... And what we're looking at.
Thank you. We're going to, for our, I think, fourth year in a row now, we're going to be partnering with Wind River Casino.
Yay.
They are great partners with us and help us all the way along with this event with Bruce Jenner. The tickets are $65 a piece, or we have a table of 10 that has a little break in price at $600. And the tickets can be reserved, called about, questions can be done at our athletic office.
Okay, and give us that number, please.
That number is 242-7592.
Okay, I'm going to put that in our chat room right now.
242-7592.
Okay, chatters, because our chat room is alive and well, and it just keeps flipping. So
that's great.
That number will go into our chat room, as well as you can always call here and find out what's going on, or the Shasta Administration Office.
Yes.
To find out about tickets and buying a table, being involved, support your athletic, your local college and our Shasta College, lovely athletic department.
Where does the money go?
The money goes right to... taking care of our 350 plus student athletes in our program. We need this money to help supplement what we have from the college to run the program. So it goes to help them travel, to help us outfit them properly with their uniforms. It helps in We've upgraded facilities that we have out there and get them equipment that we need for them to train and practice properly. So it's just...
Safety equipment, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of safety equipment.
And, but that, you know, are we going to be losing athletic teams or events because of the big cuts coming? I know we all want to support this to kind of, you know, to keep that athletic program viable.
Well...
But this is, I mean, you are, I mean, the colleges, small colleges and the state colleges are kind of in a fight for your life there.
Well, we are. Every college is. And naturally, I think, and I've been in this a long time in athletics, when budgets get this tight, you know, one of the places that's always looked at is the importance of having intercollegiate athletics. And we certainly see all of the benefits that are there for not only our kids that are involved, but the community and the rest of the college. But we're going to be asked, like everybody, I think, if when this reduction comes down, to share in it. So this money probably more important than any other year. You know, it's kind of like it's the tough year to do this because fundraisers are hard to do right now, but the money we get from this event will be probably as important as we've ever had.
Yeah, because of that. And everybody's running into that same thing there, Gary, is that this is a tough year for, you know, for raising funds. But, you know, you see the people in the North State come out. That's the thing, they'll come out and you'll think, okay, this isn't, you know, this what's going to happen, and they just come through.
One of the things that's so unique about Reading and Shasta College is our community identity. You know, if you're down in the Bay Area and Southern California and other bigger metropolitan areas, those community colleges kind of get lost down there. There's so much going on. Up here, we are recognized as the community college, and the support we get from every aspect of the college, from our Reading community, and really our three counties that we serve is amazing. So we're counting again on people coming out and being with us.
Okay. Now, give us the phone number one more time.
The phone number is 242-7592. That's our athletic office, and we will give information about the event, take reservations.
I tell you what we'll do. We'll run some PSAs for you. You know, just have Matt get with us. We'll run some PSAs for this week.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Well, you know what? You know, we support our community. This is a community radio station.
You should have Bruce call in, because that'll bump up some tickets. We'll have Bruce call in.
You know, Brandy from our Wind River has been in communication with them and was trying and is still trying maybe to have Bruce from where he's at down there call in for a promo thing. So
I'd be glad to do that. We'll bring him on and talk about that, plus the PSAs. We'll run some announcements here telling people about it, because, again, it's our community, and it's our community college.
And your legacy, so everybody knows, on the street, anybody who's ever been through Shasta College and has gone on in their lives, we only hear wonderful things about that beginning of their alma mater, and
we appreciate what they do for the veterans out there.
Rayola Pratt.
We have we're going to have the news, but we have Senator LaMalfa's just called in. We also have Police Chief Peter Hansen. It's going to be an exciting next hour. Join us after the news.
KCNR Shasta Reading.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, 8:05, March the 10th. Carl and Linda Bott joined, of course, here with Bad Bob, and our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're chatting and streaming at KCNR 1460, and I assume now I think it's the KCNR Chat Pack.
Yes,
they've
the consensus
named themselves.
Has been made, yes.
They're called the Chat Pack. The Chat Pack is back, by the way.
Yep. They've never been gone. No matter what we do, they keep finding us.
Welcome back to the program, KCNR 1460. And if you care to join the Chat Pack, you can go to KCNR1460.com and just click on there, join. You got to put your name in there. You can put whatever you want in there.
Yeah, but I don't think these people's names are really Gator. And Coach Bob, that's real indie guy. You know,
currently 53 degrees. Today we have 100% chance of rain. So guess what? High today of 56 with slight showers tonight. 20% chance of that happening. And 42 degrees with our low temperature. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Well, we've just had a full pump morning.
That's right. And it's getting fuller because we have as our guest in our regular monthly update, which we really enjoy, is Reading Police Chief Peter Hansen. Good morning there, Chief.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
And how are you?
Great.
Hey, last time we saw you, right after the program, you took us on a tour. We had an official tour of the maze.
Of the maze. Of the police department.
Yeah, the police department is a maze.
Got to see the spots where the roof had collapsed.
Yes.
Got to see the water draining in. You know, this is, okay, you sold me. You sold me, Chief. You know,
right.
We need something else. It could be a trailer out someplace at this point.
Well, hopefully not, but the other thing about the tour I was able to show is some photographs of some of the police facilities we've toured in Southern California.
Positive note.
Which have retrofitted warehouses, a Fedco and a Costco, into a very nice police facility. And, of course, that's the direction the city's heading right now, or we're heading that way right now with this possible Costco acquisition.
That's why I want to get it right from you, is the Costco renovation would meet your requirements.
It really would. You know, a couple of years ago, I wouldn't have thought so, but after touring the facilities and seeing what could be done with these warehouse structures and how nice they were, I was very much convinced that it's a very viable option for us. And also an opportunity for the city to save a substantial amount of money, probably as much as, you know, 25% or 30% over the cost of building a new building. The other advantage that the Costco building would provide for us, and which is all part of the negotiations, is that it helps ensure that Costco stays in our community, and that's, you know, very important to our community to have such a tremendous retailer available to us.
Yeah, let's say tax base.
Yeah, okay, tax base. But as well, you know, the building is large enough or even larger for our current needs and certainly would handle our future needs very well.
Okay, and then I understand that part of the parking lot would be, you're not taking that whole area out there. Is that
well,
true?
The city is going to work on, and again, it's in negotiations, work on acquiring the entire property.
Okay.
And a portion of the parking lot would be designated for secure parking for employees and police vehicles, and a portion would be designated for civilian parking and access. But because it's 9 acres, there is the possibility for other development in that area in a part of the parking lot. And one of the other things we're looking at is, because the space is so large inside, setting aside a portion of the building for other city use, possibly recreational use for the community.
Okay. All right. We've got to take a quick break here.
And when we come back, I'd like to ask you a few questions that's come in from the chat. Really good questions that I'm sure everybody, even not on the chat, and our many listeners here at KCNR want to, would love to hear from the Chief. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Okay.
1460. Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 8:12 in the morning on March the 10th. Hey, we've got a call in here. Senator LaMalfa, good morning, Senator.
Hi, Carl, Linda, how are you doing?
We're doing fine, Senator. How's it going?
Well, just heading back down to the Inferno here, so we're going to possibly do some big things today, but I'm not quite sure what's going on with the governor there. So now, ostensibly, well, you know, I ran into you two the other day at an event there in Reading, and we thought perhaps we were going to go in Wednesday, spend all night working on budget items, and then that's been delayed. And the governor yesterday or day before asked to delay the whole discussion of the budget in order to strike some type of deal or a better deal or whatever. So it's hard to tell if we're going to take anything up this afternoon or not at this point. So the clock keeps ticking here.
Yeah, we appreciate you giving us a call, Senator. Assemblyman Nielsen called and talked to us about the veterans' home, how that's looking up, but it's still not out of the woods yet.
Yeah, exactly. So the mechanism, I mean, for your listeners here, the other day in committee it was proposed that we, in order to save a little bit of money possibly out of the state budget, they would delay the opening of the veterans' home. The figure at that point was 6 months, and I just sat there shaking my head, like, after all this, now we have to delay it 6 more months. But the different things you probably talked about, you know, it was vowed that we would lose federal funding by having that delay, so the proposal now is 3 months. Then talking to folks from the Department of Veterans Affairs and a couple others there. The three-month timeline would make the state feel like it's actually saving money, but as far as the actual ramping up, it'll be about the same amount of time for it to ramp up. So it looks like there would be really no net effect of that.
It could even
labeling it a delay. So it might be a deal that works out, actually.
Yeah, they said it could even work out for it. So anyway, well, you know, Senator, we really appreciate you fighting a good fight down there.
Well, I'm glad to do it, and you know, we really have to hold tight for a better result. You know, as you're following the budget discussions here, coming down to you know, making some cuts and passing some taxes, and what the other side doesn't want to talk about is how are we going to actually reform the state, the budget process more permanently. The business atmosphere caused by bad regulations like global warming nonsense and the litigation you have to go through to be in the state, and as well as taking a look at how we can do something permanent about the pension and retirement system in the state that is failing and is going to be on the taxpayers will be on the hook for. So they don't want to address any of that stuff. You may have seen in some of the Sacramento Bee postings have been done that the environmental organizations are all banding together and sending letters to Democrats saying, don't give an inch on any kind of reform here for what the Republicans are asking for. So, I mean, in that kind of atmosphere, you know, we always hear about this, you know, Republicans in the party of no. Well, we're being told no on anything that's going to fix the state permanently. All they want to do is kick the can down the road by throwing more taxes on the backs of the people who are already having a hard time and doing some ghost budget cuts that at best fixes one budget year. So, you know, we're really having a difficult time finding any headway to do some real reform that's going to make the state better, not in the same spot every year.
Well, Senator, we'd like to have you on for a full hour here, maybe next week, that we can talk about this and be able to give it the proper time, especially since it'll be after probably after some of that budget decisions have been made.
Yeah, it could well be. This thing has to come to a head pretty soon. The governor's pushing to have a June 7 special election to the cost of $90-$100 million and ask the taxpayers once again, you know, do you want to raise your own taxes? And so this all has to be done no later than probably next Tuesday. So we'll know something here pretty soon.
All right, sir. Hey, you know, Senator, thank you so much for calling us and keeping us in the loop. We appreciate that.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, all right, Senator.
Drive safe.
Okay, bye-bye.
As promised, when we get back, we're going to take a break. We're going to ask the chief here, Chief Hansen, who's been our guest and has been standing by. There are several questions in the chat room, I'm sure, are on everyone's lips of the about the event that occurred just a few days ago. We're going to talk to the chief about that, and we've got to take a break.
Numerous other things.
We'll be. Exactly. Right. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460.
KCNR 1460, Loma Free Fire Media, Carl and Bob. This portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. That's right. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite. His phone number is 244-1988. He does a great job. Don't call that 800 number. That's not a local one. Call the local vendor. That's Doug Tooley, a veteran of the 82nd Airborne, one of our neighbors in our community. That's his phone number is 244-1988.
Currently 8:20 in the morning. It's 53 degrees if you're just tuning in. This is the 10th of March here on KCNR 1460. Chatters, Chat Pack. We are going to get to your questions. I promise. Our guest this morning is Chief Hansen. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Okay, now we want to talk about this. We got some people on the line, but I want to ask this question first, and we'll get to John and then the next one, John. Chief, the senator was just on, and that was a surprise that he called in. But we're always happy that the senator wants to call our show and let the people know what's going on. He said we can't kick it down the road anymore. We've got to do some big changes on the budget. And we talked about the Police Chiefs Association. You want to elaborate on that?
First, Senator LaMalfa, Assemblyman Nielsen are longtime and very supportive of law enforcement, and we really appreciate the work they've done in Sacramento. And, I agree with the Republicans' position on needing to change the way state government and the whole budget thing is done. They can't continue to, like say, kick the can or continue to push it back on the local governments to you know, absorb their losses and things like that. And I totally agree with what they're doing. What's interesting is that I'm on the board for the California Police Chiefs Association, and Cal Chiefs is supporting pension reform ideas. We feel it's very necessary to reform pension in California for public employees as to make it a sustainable system. But at the same time, the California Police Chiefs Association has taken the position that we're supporting the governor on the current budget proposal with conditions. And the conditions are that he make those cuts on the other side, and it's not, you don't solve the budget crisis all through tax increases. So our position is he has to make those, you know, 50% of the problem has to go away through cuts. And we're going to support him with certain conditions relative to, you know, funding coming back to local law enforcement and local governments in, because of this realignment plan they have. And that's mostly a realignment of a lot of state inmates coming back to local supervision and local incarceration. So not wanting to get at odds with the senator or with the assemblyman, but, you know, our position is that we're supporting the governor. And we believe that this extension of, not increase, but extension of current tax situation is appropriate.
The vehicle licensing fees. Yeah, licensing, that's what we're talking about here.
And has a huge impact not only on Redding Police, but also on Shasta County and on Anderson Police and so on. But it has to come with certain conditions. And if the governor is able to meet those conditions, you know, we want to support him. The other thing is that California State Sheriffs, the California Peace Officers Association, PORAC, which is a police labor group, we've sort of formed a coalition to support the governor as long as those conditions relative to funding coming back to the frontline law enforcement, coming back to the sheriff to incarcerate these guys, and funding for the local probation departments to handle the shifting of these state inmates comes along with it.
And if it doesn't?
Well, then we're going to withdraw our support. And so that's what is going on in Sacramento, and that's part of, you know, a very small part of the wrangling in Sacramento that's going on.
Okay, again, let's go back to...
And again, with the Republicans are talking about pension reform, we support that too. So, you know, we're not oblivious to the concerns about, you know, the costs of public employee pensions.
Okay, that's the point, is that so you support the Republicans in the pension reform,
right.
It has to be done.
It has to be done.
I think everybody agrees to that. It's
right.
Just, you know, how are we going to do it? But everybody agrees to that.
Most people.
Well, and locally, the city council here in Reading is negotiating with the bargaining units to reform the current pension system that, not the system, but the current pension formula that we use for the city employees. And again, I think that's responsible governing.
Well, I think that there's, if we can get the Republicans and the Democrats somewhat together, you know, I think the one person that can go to the unions with some kind of stature is Jerry Brown. I think, you know,
yeah,
he's probably the only one that can do that and say, hey, we need to make these cuts.
Yeah.
But we can't just keep cutting funding to our police and the firefighters.
Right.
You know, it's just too much going on.
And it's challenging times, and we all have to work together to make it happen.
Okay, let's go to the phones. John, good morning. Thanks for waiting, John.
Good morning, Carl, Linda, Bad Bob, and nice to have you here there, Chief. I got just a couple of quick things I wanted to say. That number one is, if you could pass on to Becky Zufall how much we appreciate everything that she's done and the difficult situation and how well she handled herself in it. Her protection of her partner and the community was outstanding. She's a credit to the department and to Reading, and she's an endorsement for the distaff side of the force. There's no doubt about that. Now, on the other side of that, I'd like to pass on our condolences to Officer Ballou, who was shot, and apologize for the record Searchlight referring to him as an ex-Marine sergeant. All vets know there are no ex-Marines.
I'm glad you pointed that out, but I didn't want the record Searchlight to keep thinking that I'm picking on them just because they have no concept of what the military is. You know, that's why they had brought me on as the blogger for Veterans Affairs, because I can kind of set those little things straight. I was going to kind of mention that today, too.
But thank you again, and I'm sure we were talking about that at the break. You have to weigh in on that as well, I'm sure.
Yeah,
keep up the good work. We really do appreciate you. Your even-handedness and the way you handle the department is fabulous. I mean, the lack of extremism and your even control, fantastic.
John, thank you for your comments. And it's been, for what it could have been a terrible tragedy, has actually been a pretty good week for us. Russ Fellow's recovering at home. His injuries, fortunately, were not severe, although they were pretty painful. Becky did a great job. They both did. And actually, when the facts of the case come out, probably early next week, you'll see that, you know, they really contributed to saving each other's lives, and I think they acted very bravely. But we've had a lot of very positive comments, such as you made, well wishes for both Becky and Russ, and I just think they did a great job.
The chat room, by the way, is just filled with admiration. For the
off,
police
guys.
Officers.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you, John.
Okay, John, thanks a lot.
And also one of our chatters that Sungold so much. I mean, I think she's been involved with law enforcement before, and she said, please tell Peter Hansen. And one of the questions, thank you so much, and all of the officers. Before, we only just a few minutes, but the question that kept rolling through we couldn't get to right away was, why does it take that many days to release officers' names that were involved in the incident?
Yeah. Two reasons. One is that in the last few years, when an officer has been involved in a shooting or a traumatic event, you know, we let them go home, and we'll interview them the next day or maybe the day after, give them some chance to recover. And we found that we get a better quality interview and information about what occurred when they've had a little chance to sort of decompress. And so we won't release anything about who's involved until we've had a chance to interview them. The second thing, the reason that we keep their names confidential for a couple of days, is to allow them to let their family know, their extended family know, their friends and, you know, their kids at school and things like that. Because as soon as the name come out, in a very well-meaning way, people start calling. And they get overwhelmed with well wishes and support, or sometimes criticism. And so we want to give them a couple of days to sort of, you know, talk to their family and sort of decompress a little bit at home before the names come out. And then if it comes out in little pieces, then it's not quite as overwhelming. There's one additional factor that we always have to check into, and it's of a concern, is we have to investigate the case fully. And this case is being investigated by the Shasta County Sheriff's Office. They are in control of the investigation, and we work together to release any information. So we usually hold, you know, some pieces of information about the case and about who's involved, you know, for a couple of days, and we'll release it, you know, as time is appropriate.
Well, that's fantastic. Hey, you guys, give us a call here, 605-4567. Chief Peter Hansen is in the house today, so if you have questions, now is your time to call the hotline here at KCNR. Again, that number is 605-4567, and our chat room is open at KCNR1460.com.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about some events that are coming up for the police department and the and that you're supporting, and it's going to be some fun to this. As the chat room, again, is... The last comment was that you play a great game of softball, too. So
I used to.
Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, our guest, Chief Peter Hansen. It's Carl and the Bot, KCNR 1460, 8:35 in the morning here, slap my face, March the 10th.
Former Marine, yeah. Not ex-Marine.
There's never such thing as an ex-Marine. You're either wearing a uniform or you're not, but you're always ready. Okay.
I will attest you're always ready.
That's right. And you know what? And one of the reasons I'm ready is I get my hair cut down at Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. I go down and get my military cut from DC Tim or the Man in Black, but that's not all they do. They give great haircuts. You don't have to get a military cut, even though I know a lot of the military around town, the recruiters, and I know quite a few policemen go down there because it's man's last stronghold. That's right. They go in there. They just get a haircut. They don't want to watch Oprah. They're on TV. They just go in there, get in, get a haircut. Great conversation. We talk. Man's last stronghold. That's Cypress Square Barbershop on Athens Avenue.
Well, our chat room is just a little controversial right now, but let's get into some good stuff that is going on. Actually, it's not good stuff. Chief Hansen is our guest, and we were talking about some pretty staggering statistics that has happened nationwide with fatalities when it comes to our police officers, especially in Florida. Chief, do you care to share with us some what's going on and what you brought in to share with us today regarding those?
What's happening nationally is violence in our society is on the increase. And a couple of weeks ago, we released our crime report, and violent crime in Reading is up about 13%. That's a pretty significant jump in 1 year. But on a national basis, police officer fatalities jumped 40% last year. In 2009, there was 116 officers killed in the line of duty. In 2010, there was 162. That's the 40% increase. This year already, we are way ahead of that pace, unfortunately. And, for example, the state of Florida has already had 9 officers killed in the line of duty.
When we say killed in the line of duty, is that like in shootouts, or could that be other things?
Other things.
In uniform during...
Right.
Absolutely.
But it could be like somebody could hit them. They could be given a ticket and somebody hits them on
exactly.
The side of the road, though.
And actually, the leading cause of death for police officers in the nation for the last 13 years has been traffic accidents. Whether being hit by a car or involved in a collision or in a pursuit or, you know, those types of things. But violence against police officers in terms of officers being shot, and, you know, we've seen what's happened nationally just in the last week with the U.S. Marshal being killed in St. Louis and so on, is on the rise. And we're seeing violence, varying levels against our officers on the rise. You know, we had, you know, 2 or 3 pursuits yesterday. There was a couple of stabbings
yesterday.
Yeah, I
saw it. And then, of course, and what happened on Monday. And
right.
I know you can't talk about it, but any indication why this guy did it?
There is some indication, but it's premature to release that.
Okay.
And that's going to be mostly speculation anyway,
okay.
On our part. But
all right.
There are some factors we think that, you know, led to this. This guy had a long history of violence and violence against police and violent activity and a long criminal record. And the Sheriff's Department will be responsible for detailing
okay.
that out.
All right. So violence is on the rise, though, in America. Is this what we're seeing?
Yes, and like I said, we've seen it here locally. And typically when the economy goes bad and people are unemployed, and as we've seen here in Shasta County, our unemployment is still, you know, double the national average, violence tends to increase because sometimes people turn to alcohol and drug abuse, and that is a significant factor in terms of domestic violence. And then people get frustrated with their situation, and they're not working, and it does lead to more violent act. And then, you know, believe it or not, a strong police presence tends to be a deterrent. And the more we can spend time, you know, being proactive and, you know, paying attention to problems while we're small, we'll tend to keep some of these factors under control. Now, the number of police officers in the community, I've never thought that it really had a direct impact on crime as much as it did as our ability to respond to crime. And our response times and our ability to prevent crime, but there's, you know, a lot of factors in what causes crime rate to go up.
The economy, the people's feeling of hopelessness. You know, they can't find a job, and
right.
So then they, like you say, they turn to other substances.
And particularly young people. The biggest demographic of people that commit crime are the 18 to 25 year old males, unfortunately. And that's probably the group that's being most affected by unemployment and this feeling of frustration and so on. And
the guys driving by in the bikes looking inside the cars.
Those guys.
Yeah.
Nothing to do. And that goes to, you know, believe it or not, there's a direct correlation between your crime rate and your literacy rate in your community, your after-school programs, your sports programs. Now, you guys were just talking to the gentleman
yes.
from Shasta College yesterday.
Right.
A strong education... sports, music, drama, those activities which keep our young people engaged and involved, and particularly sports, which helps to teach discipline, are so important in terms of its effect on crime rates in the community.
Well, I'll tell you, yes, last night we went to, again, Bishop Quinn, or the Reading Christian School, and saw Tom Sawyer. Now, I know how much those kids, the school and the parents are being able to really be involved. They don't have to go through the government process, so they can really have hands-on with the schooling of their children. Tell me, did you see any obese kids there last night?
No.
Did not see one obese kid. I mean, maybe a couple little chubby, but not... What I'm saying is that it takes a village to really work with kids and keep them active. And again, programs with music, theater, arts, sports, something at a very young age to keep them active and not sitting there in front of their Xboxes.
And what happens usually, what are the first programs that are cut?
Yeah, sports and music, drama, those things. You know, and we've got great high schools in our area. You know, they're pretty well known for their sports programs. My kids went to Foothill, but, you know, Foothill has a great music drama program called Club Cougar.
Yes.
Shasta High School has the Shasta Madrigals. Enterprise has the Enterprise Starship.
Yes.
And those are fantastic programs. They're great for the kids, great entertainment for the community. Like I say, our sports programs around here are top-notch. And those help keep kids involved. And even the kids that are on the peripheral that are just attending and not maybe not directly involved, but indirectly involved in supporting those programs, really helps to keep them on the straight and narrow and you know, in a good way.
Is there some kind of cadet program that you do? We're going to take a break, but I'm curious that when we come back, if there's some kind of cadet program that goes through the high schools. At one time there used to be, and I'm not sure if we're doing that again, but we'll find out after these messages. Going to take a break. We'll see you. KCNR 1460.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Home of Free Fire Media, Carl and Linda Bott. It is 8:45 in the morning on March the 10th. This portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks. That's right, Lumberjacks. It has special breakfast, $3.99 for ham and eggs, and that is a lot of food, and it's served with exquisite preparation. And it's a local business, and it's owned by a local couple, a local family here, and they do great work and great prices. How can you beat that? $3.99, $4.99, $5.99. These are breakfast specials that go from Monday through Friday at 501 East Cypress. That's Lumberjacks. Our guest, Police Chief Peter Hansen, who is always on duty. When he's not at the office, not in the car, he sits on the edge of his bed. At parade rest, ready to go.
Okay, more accolades coming in from the chat room. Chief, your officers did a great job doing the most difficult task a police officer may be called to do. I'm very glad they made it all right.
Thank you very much. Again, we've had a lot of well wishes from the community, you know, phone calls and letters, and people sent flowers, and that's very, very much appreciated by everyone.
Tell the chief if things turn ugly, he may want 100 warm bodies, volunteers.
Hey, let's talk about somebody had also. What happens with our chat room is they're in there. We're called they're the chat pack, and it rolls. It rolls quickly. So sometimes if I don't go back, but one of the I can't do it verbatim, but one of the chat people had said chat people that
chat
thank
pack.
You for sending one of your officers out to talk about the. The neighborhood patrol, the neighborhood watch, and so now they have been able to develop their neighborhood watch, which I think is overlooking, what, how many homes?
31 homes.
Yes.
Yeah. That was Mike Leonard. Mike Leonard has been with our department a long time. He's a community service officer, and he ran our crime prevention program for years, which unfortunately is on the back burner inactive right now. However, if anyone in the community wants to establish a neighborhood watch program, we will still make that available to come and help you get it started. Right now, Mike is doing another great job for us, serving as our liaison to the district attorney's office and the court, and a very, very important function for us. But he does a great job, and every time he goes out in the community, you know, he's probably one of the most well-spoken people that we have working for us.
What would it take? This is a hypothetical. What would it take to get a neighborhood watch? Remember how? In some communities where if somebody, a lot of times with retirees, would drive around in the patrol car, and it would say out of service, but they still drove around in a patrol
right.
car. Is that possible here to do this still?
It is possible. We're working on a program like that. Not ready for prime time yet, but we're working on a program like that. And I'll give you an example of a program that's just started. The Highway Patrol just recently completed a two-week academy for seniors. Volunteers that are assisting the Highway Patrol in their office and that sort of thing. They're not out patrolling, but the city already has an extensive volunteer program. We use volunteers all the time, but it's different because of things like what happened this week to take a citizen and put them in a police car and put them out on the street because they can become a target. So there's a training issue, there's a liability issue, and we need to be very cautious about that. But we are working on a plan. We're just not ready to go there yet. You know, the other thing you mentioned before we went to break was a cadet program. We have an explorer program, and that's for young people who are 14 and older. It's affiliated with the Boy Scouts of America, and we have an extensive explorer program, and you know, they meet once a week. They train together. We have officers who volunteer their time to come train the young people and expose them to law enforcement. The Highway Patrol just started their explorer program again. The Sheriff's has an explorer program. And in addition to just being a great place to go, these people actually, you know, these young people interact with us. They help us at special events and, you know, things like that. So it's a great.
You know, I see them out there, come think, but they're out there kind of directing traffic. And
do they get to be some in uniform?
Yes.
Some of them are pretty officious, too. You know, they're pointing at you and coming, I'm looking. Hey, wait a minute.
Well, you know, and we have a cadet program, too. We hire, they have to be 18, and they're actually employees. They work part-time for the department and helps them get through school and so on. But the explorers, they're, I think there's about 30 or 40 of them
That's
in
super.
The police explorer program. And it's a real good program for youth development, and they do a great job for us at all of our big events.
You know, I think that that may be somebody we'd like to have on. As a police explorer, I hope you could help us with that. So we, you know,
we can. Our coordinator is Tracy Beaupre. Everybody knows who Tracy is, and she's the lieutenant that oversees the program. And you know, we'd like to get more young people involved.
Yeah,
it's a great program.
Talk about that, you know, and give them a little love up here on the station. Okay, we've got to take a break. When we come back, we've got some good things that are happening here that our police department is helping with and backing. We've got people on the phone, but we've got to take this quick break. Calling the Bot, Free Fire Radio.
Oh, back down. No, I
welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:52 in the morning. Sports and show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. And I tell you what, they don't back down either. And they help our veterans. They help our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive. Espresso Joe's, great coffee, great prices. The people working there, knowledgeable, friendly. Joe and Shelley do so much for our community. They support our community in so many different ways. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Hey, our guest is Chief Peter Hansen, and on the line is Gary Cadd. Gary, you've got a question for the Chief.
Yes, good morning to you all. And Chief, good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
I wanted to ask, for a city our size, 90,000 people, what is the general rule of thumb of the number of sworn police officers we should have?
Yeah, generally, it's based on an officers per 1,000 population ratio. And, you know, nationally, it's about, you know, 3 or 4 officers for every 1,000 people. But that's skewed because the East Coast population of police officers is enormous. When you get out to the west of the Mississippi, the average is about 1.6 officers per 1,000. But that depends on, you know, what community you're in. Historically, the city of Reading has always been about 1.3, 1.4 officers per 1,000. Right now, we have 98 sworn officers, and that puts us down to about a 1.1 officer per 1,000 ratio, figuring a city of about 90,000 people.
So how many should we have, I mean, according to that ratio?
Well, if we want to get back to 1.3, we need to add back the 20 or so officers that you know, we've eliminated over the last couple of years. And if we want to increase above the 1.3, or, you know, 1.2, you know, it's about another 10 or so officers for every.
So 20 to bring us back to what it was then.
Yeah, to bring us back where we were at in 2008. And if we want to get to 1.3 or 1.4, for example, probably another 20 on top of that.
Okay. Hey, Gary, good question.
All right, thank you much.
You bet. Until we can get to this, have you got somebody else on the line there, Bob?
He wants a question to ask Bob.
Okay. Chief, let's talk about what you've got there in front of you. You've got some neat things happening here.
You know, we do. This is a great time of year because we're all looking forward to Cool April Nights, which comes in April, and it's just a few weeks out. And then right after that is the rodeo. And those are exciting times for our community and great public events. But there's another event I want to talk about briefly on Saturday, May 21st at Lake Reading Park. We're co-sponsoring a car show. And the NorCal Road Knights approached us last year about doing a show. It's called Cops and Rodders. And it's a fun car show down at Lake Reading Park, and the funds they raise go to help our Explorer program and our Police Canine program. So we partnered with them, and this is going to be the second year, and we're really looking forward to it. Saturday, May 21st, at starting at 8 o'clock, going until about 3:30.
Great. And how do people, is it just going to be open to the public and everything?
It's open to the public. It's free.
Great.
And, you know, they do all the work. Unless you want to enter a car into the contest for judging, and we get a lot of public officials to come and help us with the judging. If you want more information, call Cops and Rodders, 241-2136.
Great.
And it's a great program. We had a great time last year, and we bring the dogs out, and they'll do demonstrations for community. Yeah. If you want to see our police dogs in action, it's really fun.
Well, we'll talk about this a lot more.
Great.
And as we get closer, one of the questions here, now when you start talking about numbers and all this, two questions we have is, one, what is the average response time?
Right now we're back. Average response times we track for emergency calls for
emergency
service,
calls,
the really
right.
high priority ones, and we're back in about the 12.5-minute range, and that's already up from last year, back from about 11.5 minutes. So because of the lack of number of officers we had,
somebody's breaking into my home, the average response time to get there, I'm standing there, I'm on the phone, is going to be 12 minutes.
Correct.
So by that time, let's just put it that way, the alarm, if somebody breaks in and you're gone, and your alarm usually is set for 60 seconds, 40 seconds to come in, that's why you probably need to figure out an extra protection besides the alarm, because it can come in and leave and be in and out in 4 minutes, and the alarm is going, but there's nothing that can be done. So you got to be thinking about an extra.
And just remember, that's an average time.
Yes.
So it depends on what else is going on at the same time. You know, yesterday, over the last 24 hours, we had two or three pursuits, you know, a couple of stabbings, and a lot of, you know, real dangerous, violent things going on. And so that, if your house is getting broken into and you're home, that's going to be higher priority than if your house is getting broken into and your alarm goes off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But on average, it's increased about a minute over the last year.
That makes a big difference.
It does.
Another good reason, huh?
Well,
armed America.
It's not so much. It's our ability to respond to what happens,
right,
is the key factor in the number of officers you have. The other important thing that, you know, we've had to cut because of budget is our community service officers. They took a lot of the low priority calls for service, which freed up the officers to have free time to not only be proactive but to respond more quickly to those high priority calls.
Right.
And now those officers are getting tied up and on a lower priority call because that workload is shifted to the police officers.
Yeah, and this is just in the town, in the county. Thomas Engel will be on next week, but I imagine, you know, he's already said that at certain times there's areas out there they're not covered
right
well.
And, you know, he's very limited in his patrol staff, and the big issue with him, of course, is geography, the distance. And this town is very large for our population, 60-plus square miles, and that's always been a limiting factor for us in terms of our response time, just because of the distances we have to travel.
We have 2 minutes left. There is a question on the table, too.
Reserve officer force?
We don't have one. We never have had one. Again, that is something that could be explored in the future, but the training requirements for reserve officers are enormous.
That comes up. I think that comes up every time you're on, and that's the big thing. So we are taking steps, though, in some ways of putting some extra eyes out there.
Yeah, what we're working on right now is kind of a community watch program that would put hopefully some volunteers out, but we're not researching the reserve program right now.
Cameras on the streets. What do you think?
Well, they sure help when you have a major event to go back and pull the video of what happened. And again, the concerns from a lot of people are, you know,
privacy,
big government, you know.
And does it prevent crime?
It's a deterrent. You know, we have cameras down along the River Trail and along Lake Redding Park and in some areas, and it really does act as a deterrent if you see that sign saying
under
surveillance.
In the front of our house.
Yeah. Okay, we've got like about 1 minute left. Last thoughts here, Chief.
Well, you know, I really think that, you know, for the next couple of years, we could see, there's a real possibility we could see a pretty significant increase in crime, particularly property crime, shifting a lot of these inmates and parolees and stuff back to local governments with or without supervision is going to be difficult. And unfortunately, a lot of these guys coming out of prison have drug issues, and there's not going to be any treatment for them. And, you know, they really need it. And so I think they'll just return to their former lifestyle. So.
You know, Chief, we always appreciate you
really
being here.
Really appreciate you being
on. You know, I believe what you're saying on this. We've got a lot to look for, especially when they start pushing them back down here.
We got
to
do something in our community.
Now. Yeah, and that means getting together and helping you all.
Yes.
And that's what we want to be pushing is, how can we help? This is Colin DeBott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. We had some good guys here today. Which are you?
You've been listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding.